Hello, this is David Brim, and I'm the founder of Orlando Entrepreneurs. We are the hub for Orlando entrepreneurship, and our mission is to connect, cultivate, and celebrate our local entrepreneurs. We bring together our local entrepreneurial ecosystem to help impact our entrepreneurs, their companies, and our local economy. Learn more at OrlandoEntrepreneurs.org. Now over to Josh Wilson to get forward with our show.
Good day, everyone in Orlando, especially you entrepreneurs out there listening in on this show. Welcome to the Orlando Entrepreneurs Show, where I travel around and talk with founders and entrepreneurs and those who support the entrepreneurial community here in Orlando to hear their story, their business, what they're working on, some of the challenges that they face, and some of the major victories that they're having. So on today's show, I'm really excited to talk with Jesse Wolf, the founder of Oh Dang Hummus. That's right, you heard it correctly, Oh Dang Hummus. Mr. Jesse, welcome to the Orlando Entrepreneurs Show.
Thank you so much, appreciate you having me out today. I'm excited.
Yeah, so tell me, what do you do at Oh Dang Hummus?
All right, so Oh Dang Hummus, we are, in essence, right, what we describe ourselves as, the Ben and Jerry's of hummus. So we don't do your typical flavors of the classic Mediterranean ones everyone's used to, like the roasted red pepper, garlic, etc. Instead, we kind of took the opposite path, and we brought really familiar, fun American flavors and more international flavors that we're used to eating to the hummus category. And we bring a lot of fun and excitement to a pretty, you know, standard, ordinary dip, as well as now we've become a better-for-you food product. So the thing we focus on now is taking products we eat every single day that are normally not that great for you and figuring out through food science and creativity how to make the same exact delicious taste but better-for-you option, whether it's plant-based or lower in calories, sugar, fats, etc. So we're really like Willy Wonka at this point in time. We've kind of elevated. You know, we take health food, we make it fun, exciting, and most importantly, delicious.
Wow. Okay. So you compared yourself to Ben and Jerry and Willy Wonka, and these are typically dessert categories, you know, like I loved the movie Willy Wonka. So I feel very excited to talk about this. How do you compare yourself to a dessert, you know, group, but you're really selling healthy items, healthy food? Like, talk to me about this.
So think about what Ben and Jerry's stand for, right? Ben and Jerry's is iconic, right? It's very exciting. I mean, you think about how big the ice cream category is at a grocery store. It's literally the length of the whole grocery store, right? And it's one whole side of nothing but ice cream. And everybody out there does chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. You might get a Rocky Road. And then you've got Ben and Jerry's, who just had these crazy name products like, you know, Chunky Monkey and the Tonight Cone and, you know, American Dream and all these awesome flavors with these crazy mix-ins, fun, bright packaging. And even though it's a quarter of the size of all the other brands out there for the same price, people clear the shelves constantly because it's high quality, it's premium ingredients, it's fun, and it's delicious. You know, people like, you know, the energy that Ben & Jerry's brings to that category. So to your point, you're right. They do focus primarily on sweets and dessert type items. But we took the concept of this fun, wild branding, fun packaging, excitement, right, in food, and we brought it to a pretty boring category of hummus, right? If you go to the hummus category right now and you look in the shelves, it's the same product. You know, someone might have gone off the whim a little bit and done a sriracha hummus, which is like, you know, as crazy as it gets right now. But it's still a pretty boring package. You know, they have a couple pieces of vegetables on there and they're, you know, the name of the product. There's no character. There's no personality. There's no branding. You know, that gets you excited. Nobody's excited to buy a tub of hummus right now. And that's what we're changing. You know, so think about it. When you buy Ben and Jerry's ice cream, while you're eating it, you're going, man, I'm kind of hanging out with Ben and Jerry. Like, these guys are awesome. When you buy Burt's Bees, you know, you're sitting there thinking, oh, Burt's the man. You know, Annie's organic. You know, Annie makes delicious pasta. There's no personality in this category. So that's where Oh Dang Hummus comes from. You know, I'm Jesse, the CEO of the company, and we have a character out now named Jesse, the head chickpea. I'm the head CEO. He's the head chickpea. You know, so now there's this whole branding thing. I'm the face of it. Me and this little chickpea, you know, are taking the kind of boring condiment, you know, dip aisle by storm. And we're having a ton of fun doing it.
Nice. So with Ben and Jerry, the Chunky Monkey and or the all these different flavors, I don't even know what they are, but they are incredibly to eat, you know, incredible to eat. You know, talk to us about some of the flavors that you guys have that you've kind of like stepped off the edge and that have taken the condiment aisle by storm, as you say. Like, what kind of fun flavors do you guys have?
Yeah, so, I mean, we really, when I started the company, my thought process was I wanted a buffalo wing dip, right? And if you go to like a store like Publix, Publix has this incredible buffalo wing chicken dip. The problem is it's really high in calorie, crazy high in fat, crazy high in sodium. It's just not that good for you. And at the time, you know, I couldn't eat anything anyways because I just had my wisdom teeth pulled out. So my first hummus I ever made was a buffalo wing hummus. You know, and I made it, you know, using delicious hot sauces and stuff. And I wanted to sell the experience of eating a chicken wing, right? You know, like you'd get at like, you know, any wing place. You know, I wanted the buffalo wing. I wanted you to taste the ranch. I wanted a little bit of celery in there as if you're eating it. I wanted a whole experience, which is what Ben & Jerry's does so well. They sell this experience within their tub of ice cream. So, you know, we were the first ones to ever go like off the diving board in that direction. You know, so buffalo wing at the time was very progressive. And now to us, that's one of our safer options. I mean, we have a buffalo wing hummus. We do a billionaire dill pickle hummus. We have a sweet and spicy, like pure black bean based dip. We're doing a queso. So, you know, if you go get a queso cheese, it's not good for you. It's delicious, you know, absolutely delicious, but it's not healthy. So we figured out a way how to make a hummus base and create a queso out of it. So now you're eating a plant-based queso in essence. That's actually good for you. It's full of protein. Even to your point, we even do sweet hummus at this point in time. We've done them for a couple of years. You know, we have a brownie batter that's made out of black bean. We've got a chocolate cherry cordial that is phenomenal. Think of like Nutella. You know, the same things you'd use Nutella for, you're using for this. And then we also have a my personal favorite hummus we make right now is a caramel apple crisp hummus. It is divine. You eat it with vanilla wafers, and it's like a sweet hummus and chip combo. Oh, my gosh. It's delicious, you know, and you don't feel guilty about eating it. Because it's a fraction of the calories, it's plant-based, it's good for you. You're treating your body right while treating your taste buds right, you know? So it's a lot of fun.
Now, you may have to forgive me, people in the audience. I am salivating all over the microphone. So if you... I am hungry right now.
Yeah.
I love this idea. This sounds incredible. So... next time someone's out in the stores and they're thinking of, you know, eating a healthy option, they walk by and they see this, you know, these all these options of new hummus and desserts and, you know, dips and all these things that Mr. Jeff C. Wolf, the chickpea, what do you call yourself?
Oh, I've got everything from the head chickpea to, you know, the king of hummus and everything in between. So, I'll let you pick
that's
a title.
Incredible.
Yeah,
I like the head chickpea. So, I mean, this is incredible. Like, I'm seriously, like, imagining the taste of this buffalo chicken wing hummus. I'm going to go try to find this. So, this brings up a bunch of questions. How in the world did you start this? How in the world did the chickpea launch?
So, you know, the first question I always get is your hummus a family recipe? And I have to laugh because it couldn't be further from it if I tried. I'm like half Polish, half Native American, you know, so my family didn't really even know what hummus was until about 2 years into my startup. It was pretty funny. And, you know, I was in between fall semester and spring semester at UCF. And I was having my wisdom teeth pulled out, you know, a good time to get that out of the way. So, you know, about a week or two before school goes back for spring semester, I'm laid up, you know, sitting there all week, bored out of my mind. And I'm not one just to sit there, you know, and do nothing. So I was sitting there and I was craving these buffalo wings. You know, you just get those cravings. You got to have them. And I was like, this is going to be impossible. There's no way I'm going to be able to eat chicken. So I started eating just Sabra hummus out of the container. And, you know, I had been eating soup like crazy and I got sick of soup. Been drinking milkshakes, delicious, still kept drinking those. They weren't as good for me as my body wanted it to be. So hummus became my staple for a couple of days and I still had this craving after a couple of days. So I sat there and I tried to doctor up some classic Sabra hummus with just some hot sauce. And, like, it gave me the idea, like, oh, this probably could be better if I made it from scratch. So I did that. I went to the store, you know, all hopped up on the pain meds they gave me. And I came back and I turned my kitchen into, like, Mad Max's laboratory. And I made this buffalo wing hummus. And it had, at the time, you know, delicious hot sauce in it. And it had a little bit of butter. And it had real blue cheese crumbles in it. It was divine, you know. And I ate it, you know, for the rest of the week. And my friends and my family that were coming over the next couple of days were like, oh, my God, this is delicious. And I said, yeah, I know. You know, it's getting me through the week. So I started making more flavors, you know, just bored of other things I was craving. And all said and done, by the end of the week, I had like 45 pounds of hummus, you know, in my refrigerator. All kinds of like great flavors and just flavors we'll never talk about again because they were so bad. And everything in between. And I started giving it to my friends and family as they were coming over to take it with them, because I wasn't going to eat it all. And about a week later, you know, I go back to school and work and stuff. My friends are, you know, all over me to make more of this hummus. And, you know, my family's asking me to make it. And then I had a lady approach me and said, hey, can you make some of the buffalo wing hummus for a baby shower? And I was like, that's so random. I'm like, yeah, I'll make it for you. You know, I'll do that for you. So I did it for her, and I gave it to her as a gift for her daughter, basically. I made her, like, pounds of hummus. And it blew up. I mean, she was like, oh, my God, for the baby shower, we're going nuts for this stuff. It was the best thing of the whole shower. So I started thinking, I'm like, wow, like, other people like this stuff, you know? So that spring semester, I had to take a business plan class at UCF. And you had to come up with an idea at the class to write a business plan about. So I was like, man, hummus is so boring. I looked all over for other flavors. Everybody made the same five. And I said, it'd be cool if somebody was like Ben and Jerry's and had like cooler, more fun flavors. So that was my business plan idea for that class. I was like, I'm gonna look into it and see what this industry is about. And that's where the initial idea came from and was born.
Nice. So you wrote out the business plan. How long was this business plan? Because we have a lot of people out there that are working on their business plan and have no clue where to start. So talk to us about building the actual business plan that you built.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll give some quick advice on that. So I learned a lot about writing business plans, you know, through that class. You know, Professor Mike O'Donnell at UCF, thank you, sir, you taught me well. But my first business plan, right, so we started off with an executive summary. And an executive summary was awesome. It was about two pages. It answered, you know, the basic questions, you know, who are you? What's the problem? What's the pain point? What's the solution? How does it make money? How does it scale? What's your exit? You know, like those simple questions. So I did a simple, straightforward executive summary, and then we started tackling out the business plan. Now, my first business plan was 56 pages long. It was an abomination of just length. And at the time when I wrote this, you know, I really thought, you know, you got to have it all in there. You know, this is the final thing. This is what it's going to be. We can't stray from it. But as over that course, I learned it was way too long. and you know, you can. It's not a college paper. You know, you don't have to put filler in there. Get straight to the point, right? So by the end of that semester, I think I cut the business down to like 35 pages, which was great. You know, it was very streamlined and it was fantastic. Got to the point and did its job very well. Now, we used that same business plan to get our first ever bank loan. It was a $100,000 revolving line of credit from Central Florida Educator Credit Union here in Orlando. Shout out CFE, thank you for that. And we actually ended up cutting it down to, I think, 21 pages for that. You know, we really went back through it. We tightened everything up. And we put that down, and they literally said that was one of the best business plans they'd ever seen. So 21-page business plan, straight to the point, answered all the questions. You know, we got approved for a $100,000 revolving line of credit at the startup. Like, it doesn't get much better than that, right?
Yeah, that's great, man. So you started, you know, you had this idea. What inspired you to actually take the business plan, shop it around, get some, you know, funding through a bank credit line? You know, what inspired you to do that? Because here you're doing it for baby showers and friends and buddies. Like, what helped you take that leap?
So we definitely didn't start off with a business loan at all. You know, I wrote the business plan in that class in the spring of 2013. At the end of that business plan class, UCF has a collegiate-wide business plan competition for all the schools there. And I entered it with the business plan I had written for Odang Hummus in that class. You know, I competed, I pitched the product, and we ended up taking third place overall. So I put about $4,000 of prize money in my pocket. And I said at that very moment, I'm like, you know what? I've got a great job. I mean, I had a killer job going through college, was excelling really well in my career. But I said, this is something I'm passionate about. I got $4,000 of not my money. Let's go gamble it. You know, let's put it out there and see what we can do. So I spent the next, you know, summer, basically all summer long, trying to get into a local farmer's market, because I'm like, it's one thing to give hummus away for free, but it's another thing when you ask random strangers to pay for it. That's when you're going to find out, you know, if they really like your product or not. So I spent all summer going around to farmer's markets, thinking it'd be easy peasy to get in there and get this product started. Every one of them denied me several times. I mean, I was driving out to Tampa, Lakeland, Daytona Beach. Every market turned me down. So I got really frustrated and I kind of quit, you know, with the idea that summer. And I started up again in the fall for, you know, another semester of classes. And the Blackstone Launchpad at UCF had opened. And I go in there and one of my amazing friends now and one of the best friends I've ever had, Cameron Ford, you know, he's there. They're opening the Launchpad for all the students to use for free. And it's the opening night of it. And he comes up to me, he goes, hey, where are you at with Odang Hummus? And I said, I don't know. It's kind of a dead end road. Like nobody, none of these farmers markets will take me on. And he said, you know, it's going to break my heart when I see your idea on the shelf by somebody else. And like, that struck me. I mean, that hit me like straight to the core. He's like, that's going to really sad to me. He's like, because I know you can do it. He's like, and furthermore, I know the idea is there and you can get it there. So I got right back in it. And I started going back after farmers markets, went back, kind of positioned my company in my head. And went to a new sales tactic. And it took until about March, April of 2014. So almost a full year later from when I came up with the idea to get our very first farmer's market. So I used that prize money, $4,000, to buy, you know, our licensing, our permit, get a small rental kitchen, you know, under contract and renting that. And, you know, I bought a little van to get me to the market for $800. Scary and horrible. But, you know, it got all the hummus to the market for us, which was awesome. And that's what we used to start the business with. And, you know, we were using the farmer's market then to start generating revenue. So from the very first farmer's market, you know, we were making money. And by the probably third or fourth week in the business, we had recouped all the money back we invested in it. And we're cash flow positive. You know, so we really just kind of bootstrapped it. And I competed in a business plan competition. So win a couple $1,000 and off the race we go. And we didn't go after that business loan until after we were on Shark Tank. So, you know, it's pretty wild.
Okay. All right. You just like blew my mind. So you went out there, you had this idea and you started pitching it around, got a bunch of no's. No.
Fun.
Was extremely discouraged, right? And like one friend believed in you enough to say that to challenge you and say, you know, it's going to be really sad when someone else, you know, creates this product and you're just going to be full of regret. Right.
Yep.
Talk to us about what was going through your head when it comes to discouragement and how did that impact you? Because I believe that's going on in a lot of entrepreneurs' mind right now. So let's talk about that. And then I've got some other fun questions to ask you.
Yeah, no, I love it. So, you know, let's just address the elephant in the room. Odang Hummus should have died 10 times over again. I mean, I can go back to probably four or five very specific days where, you know, by the time I pulled back in my driveway for, you know, the end of the business day, I'm like, this is it. I think we're done. You know, like we're here, we're dead in the water. And, you know, to start, you know, nobody likes rejection, but I have learned to become the master of rejection. I love rejection. I know that sounds like completely backwards, but I literally live for rejection because if I get accepted now right off the bat, it almost makes me nervous. I'm like, what's wrong? It's a trick. Somebody's out to get me, you know, but now I thrive on rejection because if I'm being rejected, that means I'm innovating and I'm pushing boundaries and I'm challenging status quo. which is what we're all about. That's what I'm all about. And I remember growing up, you know, rejection was like the scariest thing to me, you know, getting rejected by, you know, girls in school and asking girls to prom and, you know, going on interviews for your first jobs or getting into college. I mean, I remember like almost, you know, throwing up, opening up the letter for UCF, you know, to get in that school. And, you know, now really nothing upsets me anymore. I mean, you get a little bummed out, but nothing hurts my feelings when I get rejected anymore, because I just see it as, I'm not done yet. They're not finishing me yet. I'll be back. Give me a new approach, right? So, you know, coming out of the gates for Odang, we got rejected seriously by every farmer's market within 150-mile radius here. And, you know, I thought it was going to be easy. I was naive. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, so I thought I'd walk up to these farmer's markets and I'd put down a little table and a tent next to, you know, Betty, who's selling bath bombs, and life would be good. Well, it turns out we're in the mecca of farmer's markets, and it only costs $25 for a spot at the farmer's market. And Betty, who's selling bath bombs, is making $300,000 a year at farmer's markets selling bath bombs. So it's super competitive, and there's 2-3 year waiting lists, and they're hard to get into. So I got smacked in the face with reality. And at one point in time, I was just like, you know, I'm going to quit. You know, it's obviously not working. Instead of thinking there's a solution for everything, that door is not going to work. Either build a new door, find a new door, or break into that door. You know, one of those are your options. So that's what we did. You know, I never gave up, and I kept going back to farmer's markets. You know, my first farmer's market I ever got into, funniest story ever. So after like 8 months of rejection, I get into a farmer's market, right? And they were excited to have me. It was so small. There was like 10 tents. And to give you perspective, the one in downtown Lake Eola is almost 300 tents. So this market's got 10 tents. It's so small. And they accepted me on a Wednesday. They said, you could start on Saturday. It'll be your first market. So I called Friday to give the lady the paperwork. She's like, I don't need your paperwork anymore. And I said, oh, I don't understand. She goes, we're closed. We're no longer like in business. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is a sign. Odang's not supposed to happen. So I wanted to quit right there again. You know, I was so discouraged. And then I had another friend go, hey, because they all knew I was looking for farmer's markets, go, hey, just FYI, I heard a new one's going to open up over in Oviedo. Like, I literally, like, hung up on her, drove right there across town. The lady happened to be there for the market. And I said, are you guys opening a market? She goes, yeah, well, last week was our first weekend. I'm like, I sell hummus. Let's do this. I want to be. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. You're homeless? I said, no. Hummus. We sell hummus. And she's like, oh, that's bad. Okay, got it. So she let me into that market. And I was, you know, that was a big step for me to overcome that initial failure. You know, I was like, it can't be done. I mean, that was a very discouraging start, you know, for any business. I mean, like, I look back on that and I'm like, I still applaud myself. I'm like, dude, way to stick through it, because that sucked. And then, you know, to further that a little bit more, that first market we got into, that very first one, we set up on site, right? We made hummus, like, you know, it's been a year in the making. We're ready for our very first farmer's market. And this little nice, sweet old lady walks up about 5 minutes before the market actually opened. And she's kind of checking things out beforehand. And she's like, what do you make here? And I said, well, this is hummus. She goes, what's hummus? And I said, it's a bean dip. I was like, you have to try it. It's delicious. So she eats it and she goes, this is disgusting. And I went, oh my God. I'm like, all my friends are liars. I hate my family. They lied to me too. You know, just trying to be nice. And I was like, I just wasted $4,000 a year of my time, you know, on this stupid hummus idea. And I had a buddy there that was helping me at the time, Tony. And he's like, dude, calm down. It's the first customer. You can't win them all. And I was like, that's a bad omen, man. It's a bad omen. And by 11 o'clock, we sold out in the market ran till 2 p.m. So, I mean, you know, like two major failures that almost put a stake in Odang right before we even got started, you know, crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story. I'm glad you're not homeless.
Yeah, me too. There was a couple times I got scary, but.
Yeah. And that lady who rejected your hummus, you know, maybe we should name a hummus after her or something like that.
We should. That'd be hilarious, actually.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a really interesting thing. So starting off with a tremendous amount of failure, actually, you progressed through this. You had friends and family that really supported, encouraged you, talked you off the ledge multiple times. you get to this point where you sold out by 11 o'clock. Somehow you end up on Shark Tank. How does Hummus end up on Shark Tank? Talk to us about that.
So, you know, let's go back to that first farmer's market, right? We have literally been rejected by everybody. I mean, every market, like I said before. That first market, the brand new market that just opened, we sell out by 11. The next weekend, we sell out by 10 a.m. We brought more product. You know, and then the next weekend, we sold out by 11 again with twice the amount of product. We were like an overnight sensation at this farmer's market. And people were sharing it on social media, and we were loving it, sharing it ourselves. So I had the idea of, let me go from the smallest market that just started to the biggest one in all of Florida, which is the Lake Eola one on Sundays. And I said, I got to get in this market. So I go, I pack a lunchbox full of hummus. There must have been 30 tubs of hummus in this big lunchbox. And I give it to, I go to the guy changing trash. And I said, hey, do you work here? And he goes, yeah, I change trash for the farmer's market. I go, here's $20. Take me to the highest person in charge here and introduce me as if we were buddies. I said, my name is Jesse. So the idea was he knows me, right? So I was going to use it like a reference. So he walks up to this lady. She's so sweet. I'm still really great friends with Allison to this day. And he goes, hey, Allison, I don't know what this guy wants, but he wants to talk to you. And he walks away. And I'm like, hey, that's not what we talked about. Like, you know, like, I gave you $20. I was so mad. I gave you $20. Like, what the heck? So anyways, I'm like, Allison, my name's Jesse. You know, you guys have got to try my hummus. I'm in this farmer's market. We sell it every freaking day by 11 o'clock on Saturdays. I'm like, we have lines out the door. Here's the social media proof. And I opened it up and I said, just take this cooler. I gave her the cooler and everything. I was like, try the hummus. I'd love to talk to you guys more tomorrow, you know, while you're not busy. So I gave her enough hummus to where she had to give it out to other people. That was where I was smart, because I knew she couldn't eat 30 tubs by herself. So other people would eat it and then validate that it was good product. So, lo and behold, right, this is the market that rejected me like 7 times in a year. Sends me an email first thing Monday morning. Jesse, we like your product. We'd like to accept you into the market. I'm like, yes. And it was at that point everything changed, because the minute we hit Lake Eola, we did the same thing. We were selling out by noon, selling out by 1 at a 5 o'clock market. We couldn't make product fast enough at first. And all of a sudden, all those markets that rejected us were calling us. Hey, come to our farmer's market. You don't even have to pay. We'll let you in for free. We'll give you this best spot, blah, blah, blah. So we went from a year rejection to like 10 or 12 of the biggest farmer's markets in Florida overnight. And we were off to the races. So we ended up backing down and staying in 3 of the biggest, you know, Orlando-based farmer's markets. And as we're doing these markets, everyone kept telling us, this product's so cool. You know, you guys are awesome. You're so funny. You know, I had a cool team of friends and college, you know, students that worked for me at the time. And we just had a party. It was a party at our booth. And you guys strapped Shark Tank. And I said, that's funny. I love that show. Never in my life expecting to. And then in January of 2015, so, you know, maybe 6 months later, I'm sitting at City Walk with some friends eating dinner, all entrepreneurs as well from UCF's Launchpad. And then the one girl's like, hey, do you know Shark Tank's casting auditions Wednesday? And it's Monday night. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And we're all in an incubator. Like, I didn't think I was ready at all for Shark Tank. And really, we weren't. And she's like, well, out of all of us, like, you're the most put together. You should go down. And I'm like, you know what? We should go down. I was like, let's just get a bracelet. That way we can shut all the fans up, you know, that comes up to our booth every weekend and say, we audition, right? I'm like, what are the odds we'll get on? 50,000 people auditioned for Shark Tank. So we did that. I drove home that night and I started working on the like 15-page application. And we drove down. We left like Tuesday afternoon. We drove down. I'm still in the back of the car typing up the application. And we didn't sleep. We slept for maybe an hour. And we get in line at 3 o'clock in the morning Wednesday for Shark Tank for the audition. And we were number 34 in line out of 3,000 possible bracelets. So we were like, yes, we got one. We're in. And number 36 in line was another hummus company. And I was like, you've got to, you know, thousands of people are here today, another hummus company. So, you know, we go in, we audition, and I just had fun with it. You know, I was myself, and I'm like, I'm here for the bracelet. I'm like, the odds of actually getting on the show, like, I don't have enough of sales. I'm like, I'm just doing it for the experience. And it was fun. And when you leave, they tell you, we might call you in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, or we'll never call you. Don't wait for us. Just continue living life. So I said, all right, cool. You know, we're good. I went back to Orlando, and about a week later, I'm driving, you know, from one side of Orlando back to UCF for class. And I get a phone call from a California number, and I answer it. And it's a producer, and he's like, hey, I met you in Miami. You were really awesome. We loved your product. We were wondering if you'd want to advance on. And I said, yeah, of course. So, you know, I freaked out. I had to pull over. I'm on the side of the highway, like, crying. you know, it was really cool. So it was like a six-month process of, like, constant auditions and submitting paperwork and, you know, contracts and all this crap to get to it. And the whole time, they tell you, at any point in time, we might cut you. Like, nothing's guaranteed. Like, we're combing through all these applications. But I said, okay. And about June, it was the last week of May, we get a call from the producers, again, a Shark Tank. And they said, hey, clear out, you know, the second week of June, you're going to California to film. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, we made it all the way to almost the end. Like, this is crazy. And that's how we ended up, you know, filming for Shark Tank. And you know, definitely unexpected. And it was a last-minute thing. You know, we just went on a whim, you know, live life.
That's crazy. Talk to me about you're heading over to California. Talk to me about in the guests here, because I mean, nobody gets to, you know, get to see, you know, behind the scenes. So you get to California. What was it like? What was the experience like? Talk to us about your pitch to the show.
Yeah. So Shark Tank was wild. I mean, you know, we get out there, you know, they fly out there, which is really cool. And you get picked up by, like, you know, the casting crew, which is really cool. You know, in this big white van they pick you up from LAX. And they shuttle you over. And you're in this hotel right there in Culver City, which is right next to Sony Pictures Studios. And you're in there with the whole week's worth of people they're going to film. So, you know, there must have been probably 15 or 20 other companies that were there, you know, also getting ready to film possibly. But they tell you, you guys can't talk to each other. They're like, you can be friends, but do not talk business. So I'm like, oh, well, okay, that's all we're here for. This is going to be odd. So I took the high road, and I'm like, guys, I want to be all your friends. I can't jeopardize this. I'm just going to lay low if that's cool. You know, and everybody kind of agreed to do the same thing. So it was kind of weird, you know, like you're not talking to each other, but you know you're both there. You're all there for the same thing. And then Saturday they take you on to the set. So we get there Friday, Saturday they take you on the set and they kind of brief you, you know, they brief you on, you know, all kinds of different things, like how to, you know, look on stage, you know, how to be yourself, how to present your company. You talk to their legal team, you know, about how you can't talk about anything until you air and all kinds of crap. And then you've been practicing for 6 months that like 1 minute and 30 second opening pitch, Hi, Sharks. My name is Jesse Wolf. I own Odang Hummus. I'm from Orlando, Florida. You know, that opening pitch. That's the only thing on Shark Tank that's actually, you know, scripted. So you have to memorize that. So what they don't tell you is, until like that minute you get there, they're gonna open these big curtains. You're going to walk out, and the whole directing crew of Shark Tank is sitting there, and you got to do the pitch as if they were the Sharks. So I do that, you know, and I have fun with it. I'm just myself, and I did a good job, you know, and what I didn't know until that very moment, they go, okay, we're gonna keep you and let you film. They were cutting people right there. So you could have flown out there, got all the way through, they could have cut you right there on the spot. And I watched a couple of people get cut. And, you know, they really look for good TV, good energy, you know, a good story. So I made that cut. And I was like, oh, thank God. And then, you know, they film Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the following week. So they film for 4 weeks. Each week has three film days. You have to hit one of those 3 days. And like nothing's scripted. So like one pitch might go 30 minutes. Some pitches have gone up to 4 hours long. So if you're slotted after lunch and somebody goes 4 hours, you could get bumped out to the next day. Well, if you're on Wednesday and you get bumped, you don't film. They might bring you back. You know what I mean? So it's a very nerve-wracking experience overall. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And then Shark Tank's king of not telling you until you absolutely need to know. So they don't tell you what day you're filming. So Sunday night rolls around, and if you don't get a call Sunday night, you don't film Monday. So Sunday night comes around, we don't get a phone call. You know, my stomach is all tore up, and I'm nervous, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. So then you sit there all day Monday, and you're rehearsing, and you're going through things, and you're getting ready for possibly Tuesday. And we're at Target buying some last-minute items for if we do film. For our set, And, you know, about 8:45 California time, I get a call saying, you're filming tomorrow morning. And I was like, yes, yes. So, you know, the next morning you get up at like 5:45 in the morning, even though we weren't supposed to go until like 10:30 a.m. And they get you out to the set and they put you in hair and makeup and, you know, they get you looking all nice and, you know, sheen free. And then they put you in a little, you know, room, you know, like you see on TV by yourself. And they make you wait. And it's like the most torture because you're just sitting there by yourself going through all these things in your head. Your butterflies are crazy nervous. I mean, it's wild. So I actually had an idea. I was like, well, I went out to the casting director and she goes back and she goes, hey, you're not going till after lunch now. And I said, no. I've got to go before lunch. I'm food. I was like, I need them when they're absolutely the hungriest. And so I fought with her a little bit and she goes, fine, I'll switch to you guys. And I said, great. So we went out, we got out there to film. It was like at 11:45 or something like that, you know, for the thing. And the sharks don't know who I am, and I didn't know what sharks I had until those doors opened. And the music, I mean, the music actually plays, the Shark Tank music, as you walk down that hallway. You know, and when the doors open up the second set, there are your sharks. You know, they meet you for the first time. They have no idea who you are. They don't know your name. They don't know your product. And ABC does that on purpose because they don't want them researching you. They don't want them going, you know, who is this company? Yes, I want them right away. Because it takes all the fun out of it, right? So, you know, it was insane. I mean, it's literally all absolutely a real business meeting that they just simply film. And, you know, my meeting went about 2.5 hours. I was out there, you know, talking to these guys and gals and just, you know, doing a sales pitch. It was no different than any investor meeting I've ever been on. You know, the only difference is there's about 45 cameras on your left and some over top. And it's all every mistake you make is being filmed. So it's a little more nerve wracking, you know?
Wow. So you walk out, you're standing in front of the sharks. Do you have a recording of this that you can, you know, maybe put a link in the show notes later on that we could actually watch your pitch?
Yeah. If you just Google Odang Hummus Shark Tank, it actually will pull up the whole thing for you guys. You can just, it's on YouTube, it's on CNBC. You know, it actually reruns probably once a month, if not twice a month right now, so it's pretty crazy. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was wild because you're on one of the coolest TV shows ever made. You know, it's like the first time really on like actual TV. And then you're meeting all your idols, you know, at one time. You're like, oh my God. You know, the stress levels are absolutely unreal on that thing.
Sure. So I want to leave people in the audience hanging about what happened in the Shark Tank. Okay. Let's not even tell them what happened on Shark Tank, but if you guys are interested, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, interested in actually, you know, watching the pitch, just go to the show notes and you'll find the link for, the actual pitch. So let's fast forward. Don't tell us what happened there.
Okay.
So right now, we fast forward and you find yourself into huge grocery stores and retail outlets. Name drop a few for us.
Currently, we're in Walmart, Kroger, Safeway, King Soopers, Ralph's. You know, we're working on new customers like Publix and Kroger or Costco and places like that. So, I mean, they're very large stores. Some of the biggest in the world.
Yeah. So that little old lady was totally wrong about your hummus. I just want to rub that in her face somewhere. No, I'm just kidding. This is a nice show. I'm a nice guy, sort of. So, So you're in these big, retail stores. How did you get into these stores, or is that a part of the Shark thing that we can't talk about on the show?
No, honestly, so Shark Tank was amazing for the publicity. You know, it really did a number for us as far as, you know, giving us some reputation, if you will. People know our product and they've seen us on TV, so it gave us a great kind of backing. But as far as the grocery stores, you know, those people, they're like, although it's cool, it's not enough. You know, like they don't just call you and go, we'll take 10,000 orders, you know. They still are leery, you know, can you produce it? You know, what's your volume? Can you hit our deadlines? you know, as far as all the promotion spending and stuff goes. So our first grocery store we ever ended up in was Publix. And, you know, we're local. And as I was auditioning for Shark Tank, I also went and I cold called Publix. And I did it the most unconventional way because I had no idea what I was doing at the time. So I got on LinkedIn and I found the buyer for my department of deli at Publix. I called Publix headquarters and I asked the lady at the office if I could talk to that person. And she goes, well, who are you? I'm like, well, I'm Jesse Wolf with Odeng Hummus. She goes, that's not how this works, and just hung up on me. And I went, okay. So I called her back and I said, hey, I think we were disconnected. I'm trying to get a hold of this person. She goes, do you have an appointment? I said, no. She's like, you can't just call up here and click. So I went, okay. I learned real quick that day that's, you know, you can't just call the buyers, you know. They're very hard people to get a hold of. So then I got smart again. I got on LinkedIn and I searched around for all the buyers in Publix because there's hundreds of them. And I tried to find somebody around my age group that, you know, worked at Publix and went to UCF. Sure enough, I find this poor guy who was an assistant floral buyer for Publix. And I call up there and I said, hey, man, my name is Jesse. Do you remember me? We had psychology together. Now, at the University of Central Florida, psychology is like one of the biggest gen eds you have to take. There's thousands of people that take it. And you don't remember everybody. So I said, we sat next to each other, you know, for a little bit in class. You know, we exchanged notes for that first exam. Do you remember me? Like, we were good friends. He goes, oh, yeah, man, how are you? And I said, oh, man, I'm doing so good. I didn't know you worked at Publix. And he goes, yeah, I do. And I said, dude, I was like, I started a hummus company. I was like, can you buy my hummus? I'm like, you know, here's the product. I was like, who's the first guy I would call? I was like, it's you, Chris. You know, we were boys back in college at, you know, psychology class. You know, I was like, let's tell, we're both alumni. Let's do this. So he goes, man, I'm so proud of you. Like, this is awesome. I knew you would do it. You know, meanwhile, we don't actually know each other. And he goes, but I buy flowers. I don't buy hummus. So I said, oh, man, I'm new to this. How does this work? He goes, dude, you need to talk to Teresa, extension 251. And I said, oh, can you transfer me? And he goes, yeah, for sure. So he transfers me. And Teresa answers. And I go, Teresa, my name is Jesse Wolf. I'm the founder and CEO of Odeng Hummus. I have a hummus dip. Chris over in the floral department actually saw me at a farmer's market a couple weeks ago, thought the product was incredible, and that I needed to reach out to you to show Publix about this product. And she goes, okay, Chris from the floral department, okay. She's like, he saw your product and liked it? And I'm like, yep, absolutely. She goes, okay, yeah, tell me about your product. You know, so I feel awful about that to this day, but it was my foot in the door. And Publix gave me a meeting, so we went up there and we pitched the product, and sure enough, man, they told me no. But what they told me yes on was we brought hummus dips, and then we brought this new prototype for a hummus-based salad dressing. And so she said, we're going to pass on the hummus for now. And meanwhile, we haven't filmed for Shark Tank yet. She goes, but come back in July. Let's talk about these salad dressings. So we filmed for Shark Tank in June. We had the salad dressing meeting for Publix in July. So while we're out there in July for the salad dressing meeting, you know, I go on about, you know, how we're going to be on this show. We can't talk about it, but it has to do with a specific fish from the ocean and their investors. And she's like, I get it. So, you know, basically Publix was like, we like this salad dressing product. These are cool. You know, let's try to bring them into like 1,100 stores. And I went, oh my God, what did I do? And she's like, can you fill 1,100 stores? I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely. Sure can. No, we couldn't. There wasn't a snowball's chance in hell we could fill those stores. You know, so we ended up launching with Publix in about 400 stores and starting out with that. So that was kind of our foot in the door, and we screwed up every chance we got. I mean, we were a bull on steroids, on caffeine, in the most fragile China shop on earth. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing. You know, we're just college kids trying to figure this out, playing in a multi-billion-dollar corporation. You know, just we made everybody upset. I mean, from our distributors to, you know, our suppliers to Publix and everybody in between. So I love Publix even more now than I ever have because they're so patient and still good with us to this day. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. And that was our foot in the door. You know, after that, we had our Shark Tank run, and that really kind of put us on the map for hummus. We finally got into Whole Foods, which we had been calling on for a year before that. So we were in Publix and Whole Foods for like about 500 stores, you know, within a year and a half of business, 2 years max. And then we got stuck. We got stuck real hard. We couldn't figure out how to get to this national scale. So, you know, the old saying goes, surround yourself with people smarter than your own self, right? And that's what I did. I knew that I was royally screwing up every chance I got in this big space because it was super fast-paced. It was super expensive. My competition hated me and kept trying to shut me down at every corner they possibly could. You know, so we were getting our butts kicked on every chance we got. It was ruthless. So I said, I need people that are smarter than me and that have done this longer. So I ended up having a mentor that I was using for the last, you know, years before that, you know, that owned a company called Veggie Straws. And he now owns a company called Pasta Chips and Brownie Brittle. But I met Jerry at a farmer's market, and he had been my mentor for like the, you know, prior year or two. And I said, Jerry, you know, I'm getting my butt kicked. You know, 2016 was a rough year for us. I mean, we had all the competition trying to put us out of business. I mean, it was a mess. And I said, Jerry, you know, what do I do here? I really need some help. I need to find people that, you know, could help me with this. I really need to figure out if I could pay somebody to be a consultant or bring on the right person operations-wise. And he goes, how about this? How about I invest in your company and we do this together? And I said, I like the sound of that. So we did that, which couldn't have been more perfect timing because, you know, my solution to fixing all the issues I had with Publix was to call Walmart, which made no sense, and get a bigger customer. So thank God Jerry came aboard because as he came aboard and we did our investment deal together, I landed Publix or Walmart. I'm sorry. I landed Walmart. So we went from, you know, 450 to 500 stores to Walmart gave us 2,400 stores right out of the gate. You know, and then, you know, we landed Kroger and all the other chains behind that. So, you know, with the help of Jerry's team and some of the people he's hooked me up with, you know, we've grown 10X in 1 year, which is absolutely insane.
Wow. Wow. My kids eat Veggie Straws like crazy. Do you ever dip Veggie Straws in hummus?
I have an unlimited supply of Veggie Straws, pasta chips, and brownie brittle at any time. So yes, yeah. So Jerry, you know, Jerry no longer owns Veggie Straws. He actually sold it off to Hain Celeste in I think 2012 or 2013 for several $100 million. You know, and then he started pasta chips and a few other companies. So now he's really tied into you know, a food VC of his own, which is really great. So, but yes, to answer your question, a lot of Veggie Straws go down, a lot of pasta chips, a lot of brownie brittle.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go buy some of your Odang hummus and dip it with Veggie Straws. Two of my favorite things. So, man, this interview is so awesome. There's so many questions I want to ask you, and I know the audience wants to ask you, but we need to wrap up on time, but
yep.
I do want to ask you, we talked about this in our last conversation before the recording, and I think that this is important to touch on. So for ladies and gentlemen listening in the audience, this question was something that we touched, and, you know, Jesse was very gracious with, you know, being transparent and honest and very authentic. And because I asked him, I said, you know, what is one of the struggles that you face now? Because, you know, you're a young guy, you've been on TV, you're in these big chains, you know, like, you know, you got the world by your hand. You know, like, what is one of the challenges that you really face now? And his answer really blew me away. So I want to ask it, you know, on this show, and we'll end after this, you know, I promise, or I'll try to promise. But I want you guys to hear his answer because I think it will, bring some really great conversation. So Jesse, the question that I asked you, and I want to ask you again, what is one of the biggest challenges you face now as a young man, a young entrepreneur who's like getting national recognition that's growing faster than you could ever believe? What is one of the major challenges that you face now?
I never thought I'd say this, but it's success in itself. You know, I was telling you earlier, I had somebody tell me that years ago. You know, a lot of people fear failure, but you can actually fear success, you know, and I think a lot of us fear success and not knowing what to do if you were to make it work. And I've run into that several times now, but, you know, more so right now than ever. I mean, some days I wake up and I go, oh my God, like 4 years ago, we were hand scooping hummus sitting at little farmer's markets. And I just got off the phone with Walmart, you know, and like, that's terrifying. You know, it's scary to think like, you know, you're responsible for millions of dollars of inventory. It's terrifying to think of, you know, you've got to line up so many semi trucks per week and you got to hit these crazy deadlines. And if you don't, you're not going to make one customer upset. You make thousands of customers upset. And you make, I mean, it's a big ripple effect, you know, and that becomes pretty scary at times. But more importantly, you know, when you start growing as fast as we've grown, I mean, we literally grew 10x this year. I mean, that's like unheard of in most businesses. But thank God I was smart enough to ask for help, you know, and surround myself with people that knew what they were doing in this space, because I could not imagine trying to do this alone right now. It would be terrifying. You know, you'd never want to tell a customer like Walmart, no, I can't do that. You know, so it's a very real thing, and it's scary, you know, taking these risks. So, you know, I had to get very comfortable with being extremely uncomfortable, you know, over these last couple of years. And to that moment, to this day right now, I mean, that's still, at this very moment, a something I'm learning every single day. So it's pretty wild.
Yeah. So the fear of success is actually one of your greatest challenges right now. Now, for people who haven't achieved that level of success or growth or facing these kind of challenges or fear, they're going, yeah, right. So tactically, what are some of the challenges of being successful? What are, when you cross that line, what are the challenges that you face in your daily life?
So, yeah, and I want to make sure it's crystal clear for the audience. I don't fear being a success. Like, I love being successful. I mean, that's why I wake up every morning. You know, it's a drug. I love being successful as a person, right? But when you get success, i.e., I got Walmart, there's a lot of back end that's got to happen to make Walmart happy. So, you know, you ever hear the old saying, be careful how much you bite off, right? Don't bite off more than you could chew. Well, sometimes you don't have a choice. You know, when that big customer comes knocking, you got to do whatever it takes to make it work, because that's your foot in the door. And that's what we knew with Walmart. We wanted to be a national company. We knew Walmart was the answer to that because they're the biggest retailer in the world. So when they came knocking, you know, we presented to them and I pitched them, that was the golden ticket. You know, the minute they said yes, we went sweet, and everybody else celebrated. And I literally got in an airplane and didn't say a word for a 3-hour flight home, because I'm like, oh my God, how are we going to pull this off? How are we going to fill these orders? Where is the money going to come from? You know, because it's one thing to go, hey, you know, we're doing all right. We're cash flow positive. Cash flow positive, you can be cash flow positive by $1,000, $10,000, $100,000. That's just the saying, right? When you've got, you know, so for instance, 2016, we did about $250,000 in revenue. Our first purchase order for Walmart was almost $1 million. So great. You know, when you have money in the, you know, a little bit of money in the bank, you're cash flow positive, and you get $1 million order for Walmart, where are you getting that money from, right? So that's where you can kind of fear success. And again, you don't ever want to shy away from it, but you also can't overcommit and then underdeliver, right? Because that's like the worst thing. That's a death sentence in any business. So, you know, I want to grow as fast as we can, but you got to grow smart, sound, and strategically. And right now we're on such a rocket that we literally have to be very precise with every move we make. It's a chess game, because one wrong move, one wrong retailer, you know, one wrong, you know, batch of product or something like that, I mean, we could put us out of business. So, you know, you wake up and you're like, man, I'm glad we're having these struggles. And I thank God we're having the struggles of too much success every single day. I'd rather deal with those than no success. But, you know, they're still scary. I mean, it's still equally scary and very real. And sometimes, you know, I saw an article years ago where a CEO only knows about 25% of the actual content before making the decision. And it's true. You know, sometimes you have to put your brain together and make an educated guess and let it rip, tater, chip, you know. So here we are.
Nice. So I promised the audience that was going to be the last question, but I do have two more.
So the, I love it.
Yeah, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that we have
a
fun
guys.
Guest. Yeah. So what was the worst flavor? You talked about having 40 pounds of flavors in your fridge and some that you would never talk about. Sorry, bud, you got to talk to us about what is the worst flavor
teriyaki.
Of hummus?
Teriyaki hummus. It was ungodly salty and like the worst thing I've ever put in my mouth, probably. It came out so wrong. Everyone asked me that, too. It's so funny. I think it's too often, but sometimes they'll ask me. Teriyaki hummus was an abomination of hummus, and I'm sorry to the hummus gods for even trying that one. But I'll have redemption one day.
There you go. There you go. Last question. Where could people find more about you and connect with you or, you know, follow you? Like, give a shout-out some links, shout-out some places for people to follow you.
Yeah, I mean, the first place to start is definitely our website, odanghummus.com. All of our social media handles are just odanghummus, O-D-A-N-G-H-U-M-M-U-S. My own personal handles are real, R-E-A-L, Jesse Wolf, just like my name. And LinkedIn, you know, I love to get on LinkedIn and network with people. So, you know, I had a lot of people along the way that took time to help me, you know, mentor me, answer questions. So, you know, I don't have a ton of time these days, but I try to always carve out some time to help out future entrepreneurs. So any of you guys and gals out there listening have any questions about all the mistakes that I've made and how to avoid them, you know, feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn or shoot me a message on one of the social media channels. I'd love to answer them.
Awesome. Jesse, this has been a blast. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I am starving over here for some fancy dancy hummus with veggie straws. So tell Jerry to send me over some veggie straws, even though he doesn't own it anymore. And I'm going to go pick up some hummus and pig out. Thank you for coming on the show, sharing your journey, sharing the tips and tricks that you use to, you know, make hummus and to get in the door places, and from bribing garbage men to code calling your buddy that was in your class. Thank you for, you know, sharing your journey with us. This is fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoyed having you. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, this has been a wonderful episode, a long one. You could blame me and thank Jesse for the wonderful conversation there. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. Go give your ears a break. And we'll talk with you guys on the next episode of Orlando Entrepreneurs. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you for listening in on today's episode. If you would like to be a guest on the show or start up a conversation with me, Josh, your host, send me an email to josh@orlandoentrepreneurs.org. You could also find out more information on Orlando's entrepreneurial ecosystem, discover resources to help you start and grow your business, and subscribe to future shows by visiting www.orlandoentrepreneurs.org.